Tonight's shir is on this week's parsha, Parshas Vayitzeh, and the title of the shir tonight is The Birth of Dina. So tonight I want to look at the psukim and the mefarshim that explain ideas regarding the birth of Dina, the daughter of Yaakov and Leah. So we'll start with the psukim. It's source number one, Bereishis Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yates. Vatar od Leah vateled bein shishi li Yaakov. Leah got pregnant again, and she had her sixth son to Yaakov. Vatomer Leah zivadani Elokim osi zevet tov hapam yizbaleni ishi ki alati lo shisha vanim vatikra shemo zivulun. So Leah said that Hashem has given me a choice gift, and now my husband will exalt me because I have six boys for him, and she called his name Zivulun. And in Chaf Aleph it says v'achar yalda bas vatikra eshema dina. And afterwards, she had a daughter, and she called her name Dina. So the psukim just tell us that Leah had her sixth child, her sixth son, and his name was Zvulun. She named him Zvulun, and then afterwards, Dina was born, V'achar Yalda Bas. So from the pshat, it doesn't seem to offer us much insight into the nature of the birth of Dina. It just says that she was born after Zvulun. But the mefarshim teach us a lot of different lessons about the idea of Dina. So we'll start with more of a pshat approach, which is the Radak in source number two. The Radak says, V'achar yalda bas, after Leah had a daughter, Nira ki Dina te'oma haisa im Zvulun. So the Radak says that it seems from the pshat of the psukim that Dina was a twin sister to Zvulun. How do you know that? It says, V'amar v'achar yalda bas, v'lo omar v'telet od. It says afterwards, meaning after Zvulun, she had a bas. It doesn't say that she had another child, implying that Dina was born at the same time as Zvulun. It was his twin sister. They were twins. V'lo zachar lama krashma Dina. So the Torah never explains openly why she was named Dina, but it seems important because it says that she named her Dina. V'yesh drash, there's a drasha, she said, Dana Leah ba'atzma, that Leah deliberated with herself. The Amran, she said, Im ze zachar lo tehe Rachel achusi ka'achas ha'shvachus. If this child that I'm pregnant with is a zachar, is a boy, then my sister Rachel will not even be like one of the shvachos who each had two boys. V'hispalola v'nefcha l'nekeva. So she davened, and the child was turned from a boy to a girl. So there's two approaches the Radak mentions. The first is that Dina is a pshat, that Dina was a twin sister. And the second is that the reason why Leah called her Dina was from the word dana, which means to deliberate, to judge. And she judged amongst herself, be'atzma, with herself, that it wouldn't be right for Rachel to be beneath the shvachos in terms of the amount of boys that she had. So she davened, and Dina, who was supposed to be a boy, magically turned into a girl. So we're going to have to explain the pshat and the medrash. The medrash is more difficult. But the question is, okay, so we understand the pshat, it's that she was a twin, but is there any idea to this? Is there any concept behind the concept of a twin sister in this context? So it reminded me of a Rashi that I saw, a Gemara, a Rashi and a medrash, sorry, that takes up this idea of twins. And Rashi says in source number three, so after Yaakov had lost, or thought he lost Yosef, it says that all of his children and his daughters tried to comfort him. So the Rashi asks, or Rashi and the Mefarshim, they ask, who are his daughters at the time? It says, Benosav. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Achios Tehomos, Noldu im Kol Shevet Veshifta Venosum. Veshevet, sorry, Venosum. So there was a twin sister for each Shevet, for each tribe. Each tribe was born with a twin sister. And then they all married each other. There was intermarriage. So one sister would marry another brother from a different mother. And if you look in the Sifsei Chachamim in source number four, he says, Rata lomar kol echa nasa hata'oma shenolda im echav v'haysa achoso min ha'av v'lo min ha'im. T'levnei Noach achoso min ha'ev lo havi erva. So for a ben Noach, they were allowed to marry their half-sisters. So what happened was, each Shevet had a twin sister, and all the Shvatim were marrying their half-sisters, sisters from a different mother, but from the same father of Yaakov. So that's one approach, and that's why the Torah explains that all of Yaakov's daughters tried to comfort him. Who were his daughters? They were the twin sisters of the Shvatim, but they're not mentioned by name. Only Dina is mentioned by name. The other approach is Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, back to Rashi, Kenanios Hayu, Elamahu V'chol Benosav, Kalosav. So really, the wives of the Shvatim were Kenanios. They were just Kenani women. So why does it say his daughters? They were his daughter-in-laws. Shein Adam Nimna Melikro Lechasno Beno Ulechaloso Bito. So a person doesn't refrain from calling their son-in-law son and their daughter-in-law daughter. So there's a proof from this Rashi that a mother-in-law and a father-in-law, there's a right for them to call their son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws daughter and son. So you see that from Rashi. But so there's two approaches here. One approach is that the twins, there was an intermarriage amongst the twins, and all the Shvatim had twin sisters, and ultimately they married each other. Or the other approach is, no, that really the Shvatim married Kenanios. They married just regular Kenani women. But it's to teach us that Yaakov called his daughter-in-law's daughter. So they're referred to as daughters. The question is, what is the machlokes between these two shitas? What is the basis for the argument as to whether the Shvatim married their sisters, their twin sisters, from half-sisters, I should say, or whether they married Kenanios? So I was trying to think about how to explain this machlokes, how to work out this machlokes, and it brought me to another point, which I didn't put down on the source sheets, but if we remember, when it came to Yaakov, Yitzchak said to Yaakov that I don't want you to marry the Kenanios. And the same thing with Avraham and Yitzchak, that he prohibited Yitzchak from marrying the Kenanios, but rather Yitzchak had to go to Avram's family, and Yaakov went to Rivka's family in order to get married, the same family. So the question is, why? So the explanation, the pshat is that the Kenanios were really engaged in Avodah Zarah, and to the point where they really didn't have the capability of turning the other way, of doing tshuva, and they would be negative in terms of the development of the nation at that time. So it seems like that's the pshat. So what's the machlokas here as to who the Shvatim married? So I think it's based on the same concept. And the question is, do you say that the Shvatim were still in a fragile state philosophically, and they needed to have spouses that were on the same philosophical level? And if you say that, then it had to be that their spouses were from Yaakov, were from the family. Because only then would it ensure that Klal Yisrael would be built on a foundation of both parents being believers and having the same philosophy. But the other side maintains that at this point in the development of Klal Yisrael, there was already a foundation that was built. And the foundation was built by Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But after that point, now Klal Yisrael was already developed to the point where they can marry Kenanios, and it wouldn't have a drastic impact on the development of the Klal Yisrael as a whole. So the question, I think, the machlokas is, do you say that at this point in the development of the Jewish people, that the philosophical nature of the relationship between the Shvatim and their spouses was necessary to enable the growth of Klal Yisrael? Or do you say that at this point, the Jews were already, there was already an established foundation, this was no longer foundational, and now at this point they can intermarry with the Kenanim and bring them along and bring them into the fold? So that's, I think, the machlokas. But it's an interesting idea that each Shevet, according to one Shita, had a twin sister in order to ensure that they had these spouses that had the same philosophy, similar philosophical outlook. But the only one that's mentioned is Dina, and Dina was the sister, twin sister of Zevulun. So I think the Torah only mentions Dina because the Torah talks about the story of Dina, whereas if there were other twin sisters, it's not really relevant to any of the stories that come up in Bereishis. But let's go on. So the first shot is that she was the twin sister of Zvulun, and it highlights this idea that perhaps each one of the Shvatim had a twin sister in order to ensure that their spouses were on the same philosophical wavelength as them. But the Medrash brings down the other approach, which is that really Dina was meant to be a boy and she was turned into a girl. So it's a strange idea, but let's look at the Medrash itself. In source number 5, it says, V'archar yalda bas. Afterwards, Leah had a daughter. Re'uya haisa Leah leled shiva banim. Really, Leah was ra'oi, she was appropriate to have 7 boys. Amra, she said, Yud be shvatim asidim latzeis mi Yaakov. There are going to be 12 shvatim to Yaakov. Uchvar yaladti shisha. I already have 6. Ushtei ashvachos dalid. And the other maidservants, Bila and Zilpa, together have 4. Harei asara. So in a total, there's a total of 10. V'im adayin eled hashvi. If I have the seventh son, Nimtza Shlotehe Achosi Afilu Ka'achas HaShvachos, my sister Rachel won't even be to the level of the Shvachos, she'll be downgraded. Uviksha Rachamim, she's Hafech Ha'ubar Shemeha Levas. So she davened that the fetus in her should be turned into a girl. V'hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem agreed that Dina should turn from a boy to a girl. V'asa kidvareha, and he did as she asked. L'chach ksiv achar yalda bas. That's why it says afterwards she had a bas. Shenefach habein labas, implying that the bane that she was supposed to have turned into a bas. So it's a strange idea of how this is possible, that a boy can turn into a girl or vice versa. So we'll have to look at the Gemara on this, and the Gemara raises even more questions for us to explain. But we'll start with the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says in source number 6, it's a Mishnah in Brachos, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. It says, V'hatsoek l'sha'avar harezu tfilashav. If a person, he cries out, he davens about something that already happened, to change something that happened in the past. Let's say something negative happened to you in the past. You got a bad grade in school, and you daven to Hashem that it be changed. So that's considered a tefillah shav. It's not an appropriate tefillah. You're not allowed to do that. It's wasteful. It's unnecessary because it already happened. There's nothing to be done at that point. So then it says, "Haisa ishto meuberes." If your wife is pregnant, the omer yehi ratzon sheteled ishti zachar. So you say that I hope it's his will that my wife have a boy. Harezu tefillah shav. So that's also tefillah shav. Why? The Gemara explains that the child's sex is already determined at birth, and if you daven for the child to change into from a girl to a boy, that's an impossibility. So you're trying to change what already happened. It already happened that the child's either boy or girl, so you can't really change that. So that's a tefillah shav. Baba derech, haya baba derech, ushma kol tzoche ba'ir, ve'omer yiratzon shalotehe besoch besi, harezu tefillah shav. And the last case that the Mishnah brings down is if a person's walking and he hears a scream and he says, I hope that scream didn't come from my house. So the implication is that he's trying to change what already happened. If the scream came from your house and it was a result of something traumatic, so it already happened, so there's nothing you can do about it. So you shouldn't daven, or it's usur, it's a tefillah shav, because it's usur really to daven about regarding something that's already determined. So of course the question is, what about Leah? And it strengthens our question. How is Leah able to dive into Hashem to change Dina into a bas from a ben if it's against the Gemara, it's against the idea of tefillah to dive in regarding something that's already predetermined? And her sex, Dina's sex, was predetermined to be a boy. So how could she turn into, and how could Leah dive in? How could she turn into a girl, and how could Leah dive in for this? So there's actually halacha lemaisa on this. So before we go to the Gemara, which takes up this question, let's just look at the Rambam. I'm not really going to define the idea of tefillah shav. I'm going to make one point about it. But the Rambam says in source number 7, Hilchos Brachos, Perek Yud Halacha Chaf Beis, Haholech Lamud Gorano, if a person is going to measure his grain in the threshold, Omer, and he says, Yehi Ratzon Ufanecha Hashem, Elokai Shetishlach Bracha B'masa Yadai. So he davens that Hashem should bring a blessing to the actions of his hands. Hiskil Lamud Omer Baruch HaShaleach Bracha B'krizeh. And if he already started measuring, he says, blessed he who brings a bracha to this pile. Madad V'achar Kach B'chesh Rachamim. But if he already started measuring, and then he asked for Rachamim, Harezu Tfilashav. V'chotzoik L'sha'avar Harezu Tfilashav. If you already measured, and then you're asking for a blessing in your measurement, so that's a Tfilashav, because it happened already. And the Rambam, two halachas later, or a couple of lachos later, in 8, he says, Klalo shel davar, the klal is, L'olam yitzak adam ala asid lavo. You should only daven about the future. V'yavakish rachamim, and you should ask for rachamim. V'yitain hodaya al masha avar, and you should thank Hashem for what happened in the past. V'yodeh v'yishabeach k'vikocho, and you should thank and praise Hashem as much as you can. V'chol hamarbe lahodos es Hashem, l'shvachlo tamid, l'shavcho tamid harezeh meshubach. Anybody who's constantly thanking Hashem and giving shevach to Hashem is a great thing. So the Rambam corroborates the Mishnah, of course, and he says that there's this iser to, he doesn't say it's usser, but it's a tefillah shav. It's actually it's a tefillah that's no good, that's not a good tefillah. When you daven for something that happened already, that's predetermined, if you did something already, to daven for it to change is not allowed. However,
the Rambam says that the true tefillah is one which dictates what happens in the future, and that's how you're supposed to daven. So you should daven that in the future, let's say you want a lot of money, in the future I'll have a lot of money, Hashem should give me a lot of money, Hashem should help me with my job, Hashem should help me with my family. All these things are really the proper method of tefillah. And in the past, with regard to the past, you should just give thanks to Hashem. Fine, so, but what do we do with this Leah situation? How do we explain it? Because it seems like it's a tefillah shav, that you're not allowed to daven about something that's already determined. So the Gemara notices this, and let's see the Gemara in source number 9. It's Brachos Daf Samach Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, Haisa Ishtu Meuberes, the Amar Yiratzon Shteled. So it's quoting the Mishnah. The Mishnah's case is where a guy's wife is pregnant, and he says, may it be God's will that my wife give birth to a son. Harezu Tefillah Shav. So it's not a good tefillah, it's shav. It's like a shua shav, it's a false tefillah. The lom hani rachami, and the Gemara asks the question, won't Hashem's mercy assist in trying to do this? What's wrong with it? So Mesiv Rav Yosef, objected, the achar yalda bas vatikra shema dina. It says in the pasuk that afterwards she had a girl and she called her name Dina, mai va'achar. So what does it mean, va'achar? Amarav, la'achar shidana Leia din ba'atma, after Leia deliberated din, judgment, amongst herself, within herself, v'amra, shneima sar shvatim asidin latzis miyakov, she said that there are going to be 12 shvatim from Yaakov, shisha yatsu mimeni, v'arba min ha-shvachos, same as before, there's going to be six are from me, and four from the shvachos, harei asar, that's 10, im ze zachar, if this child is a zachar, lo te'achos yirachal, ka'achas ha-shvachos, then my sister Rachel will not be to the level of the Shvachos. Miyat nefcha levas. Shenemar vatikra shema dina. So she turned into a bas, and it says that her name was Dina. So the Gemara answers, so it's a kasha. So how come it's a problem? Why does the Mishnah say that you can't do this if we see that Leah did it? So the Gemara says, ein maskir in masa nisim. You can't bring a nes. You can't bring a miracle as a proof that this tefillah is a good tefillah. It was a miracle there. So you can't bring it as a raya, as a proof that tefillah shav in general is not allowed. Is allowed. It's not a proof that it is allowed. It's just that's a special story. So the Gemara kind of gets out of it by saying it's masa nisim. So of course we have to understand. Yeah, go ahead. No, she davened. Because if you look at the Medrash, it says, uviksha rachamim shisafech ha'ubar shevemei alavas. Biksha rachamim means to daven. I think the Gemara says
also,
it.
Also.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question also. Well, so I think we'll see. We're going to get into that. We'll answer that. So it's a good question. It's going to come up. So good question. But also the question on the Gemara is, fine, what is the nature of this nes? Why did it happen? And also, why was Leah allowed to daven? Because, you know, fine, it's a Maisa Nisim, but why was she allowed to daven for this? Isn't this a problem, a tefillah shav? How does the fact that the nes occurred and actually fulfilled her tefillah, how does that justify what she did? So that's a question. So we'll get into also how she knew. But it says, V'bai Seima, some want to say, this is an interesting part that it's difficult to understand, but I think it's based on their science. V'bai Seima, Maisa Deleia Besoch Arbam Yom Hava. So once some want to say that Leia davened within the first 40 days of pregnancy, and there's a din, Kedesanya, as it says in a Braisa, Shlusha Yomim Harishonim Yevakish Adam Rachamim Shlo Yasriach. So the first 3 days, a person can daven to Hashem that the child not putrefy, you know, not dissolve, that the child, that the fetus or this egg implant, basically, for the first 3 days. Mishlosha that are ba'im, from 3 days to 40 days, yevakesh rachamim shiye zachar, you can daven that the child should be a male. The implication is that in the times of the Gemara, they believed that in the first 40 days, the child's sex was still being determined, even though nowadays science maintains that the child's sex is determined right away based on the sperm and the egg, mostly the sperm, But basically, the Gemara maintained that no, the child was still in limbo until 40 days. Merabim yom ve'ad shlusha chadashim, from 40 days to 3 months, yivakish rachamim shlo yehe sandal. So you daven that the child shouldn't be like a flat fish. So what does that mean, flat fish? Look at Rashi, on source number 10. Shlo yasriach hazera ela yiklot v'yevlad. L'achar shlusha yomim lo kala kvar yisriach ve'in tefila mo'olas. So the first Rashi is saying, in the first 3 days, there's a possibility that nothing will develop, and you're davening that it should implant and develop, and after 3 days, there's no purpose to your tefillah, it's not going to help, because it's already determined whether the child implanted or not, the egg implanted. Shaloye sandal, shalotis aber ishto vlad acher. So the fear is that the woman is impregnated with another child, v'ye poches tu raso shal rishon, and it takes away from the form of the first one, v'dome ledag shal yom, sheshmo sandal, and it makes the fetus look like a flattened fish in the sea called a sandal. Hachi amrina b'maseches, nida sandal dome le sandal shal yom. Sandal, not a sandal, but sandal is similar to the sandal of the sea. U'mitchilaso vlad haya, in the beginning, when it was first formed, it was a fetus. Elisha nirtzaf, it was flattened, paved. Mashal adam shesatar eschavero v'hichzir tzu rasol acharov. It's like a guy who slaps his friend and his body reacts. So the same thing happens to the fetus, so you can daven that this shouldn't happen to the fetus, that the fetus somehow be deformed. I think that's what it's saying. Okay, fine. So that's from 40 days to 3 months. Mishlusha chadashim v'atshisha, from 3 months to 6 months, yivakish rachamim shaloye nefel. Then you could daven that you don't have a miscarriage. Mishisha v'atisha, and from 6 months to 9 months, yivakish rachamim shiyetze b'shalom. Then you could daven that the child comes out peacefully, without any issue. So the Gemara says, Umi mahani rachami. Who says that davening actually works in these cases? The Hamar of Yitzchak, Breder of Ami, Ish mazria tchila yoledes nekeva, Isha mazreas tchila yoledes zachar. So the Gemara, based on a statement, believed that if the man emits seed first, then it's a girl. And if the woman emits seed first, I guess her egg, it's a boy. So they believe that it was predetermined. So Shenemar, Isha Kizozriav Yalda Zachar, because the Pasuk says when a woman gives, the Pshat is, or the way they learn it is, Isha Kizozriav, when she emits sperm first, or an egg first, not sperm, but seed first, so they have a boy. So Hacha B'mayaskinan, so what's the case? Kigon, Shehizriu Shneim B'vas Achas. So the case was where both of the partners, emitted seed at the same time. And in that situation, we don't know what the child's going to be. It's still in limbo, so you still have time to daven. So the Gemara maintains that, in the time of the Gemara, it maintained that if the woman emits seed first, or has the egg comes out first, then it's a boy. And therefore, you can't daven in that situation. If the man emits seed first, then it's a girl, and you can't daven because it's already predetermined. But if both of them emit seed at the same time, so then you can daven because it's not clear. So I'm not going to explain this part because I don't understand it that well, but I don't even understand how you would know if both emit seed at the same time. I'm not sure how that works. But I really want to take up the first part, which is that the first part is saying that it was Maisa Nisim, that it was a nes. The second part is saying that really it's natural, but it was based on the science that they believed in at the time that this is how it works. And there's some similarities to modern science. It's not completely false, but there are some similarities, but nevertheless, I can't explain that part. But we'll try to explain the first part, which is, what is the nature of Isnes? How is Leah allowed to do this? You know, what exactly is going on here with the birth of Dina within this Gemara / Medrash? So just one point, the Meiri says that the problem with the Tefillah Shav is that he says, Hatzoek al Masha'avar harezu Tefillah Shav, sharei i'efshar lishtanos. So he says you can't change the past. Behavi mashal zeh, and the mashal is kigon shaisa ishal meubaris v'omer yuratzon shetelid ishi zachar harizu tefillah shav. So he says the case of the Mishnah, which is that if a guy davens that his wife give birth to a son, it's a tefillah shav. Sherei kvar notzar im zachar v'mnekeva. It's already determined whether the fetus is going to be a boy or a girl. Mikol makom dachar achar mem yom, 40 days. Aval toch mem yom ein tefillah so tefillah shav. within 40 days it's not. V'chein imaya baba derech v'sham akol tzvacha be'ir v'omer yiratzon shlo yehizah b'soch b'esi arezu tefillah shav. She'ein ro'el l'lispal amasha imhaya yevshar. You can't daven on something that's impossible. You can't change the past. Shlo liyos. You can't change what happened and make it not exist. V'kshispal amasha ein v'efshar ta'ah. You're mistaken. Utfilaso shav v'sheker. Your tefillah is nonsense and it's a lie. So the Meir is just pointing out that the problem with the tefillah shav is that your tefillah is a lie. It's just a falsehood because you're davening to change a reality. So to daven to change a reality is a falsehood. It's a lie. So the problem is that you're lying. Your tefillah is a lie. You're lying before Hashem. So that's the psul in the tefillah shav. So I just wanted to bring that in, although that's not really the main topic of the shir. But I wanted to get to the idea of Leah. So what exactly is going on here with Leah? Again, the questions are, why did she do this, or you know, what was the impetus for this, and why did it work, and what's the nace over here? So how do we explain all this? So I was thinking of an idea possibility to try to explain the Medrash to Gemara, and it's based on Bereishis Parak Lamed, where we see that there was the story in this week's parsha also of Reuven going out and getting the flour. So we'll look in source number 12. It says, Vayelech Reuven b'mei ketzir chitim, Vayimsa dudaim basadeh, vayaveosam elea imo, vatomer rachel elea tna li meduda ebenech. So Reuven went out to the fields, and he got these flowers in the field, and brought them to his mother Leah, and Rachel said, give me the flowers. Vatomer la, hameat kachtech es yeshiv lakachas gamas duda ebeni, vatomer rachel lachin yishkav yimach halayla tachas duda ebenech. So Leah said to Rachel, isn't it enough that you take my husband? Now you want to take my son's flowers? And Rachel says, so Yaakov will be with you tonight in place of the flowers. Meaning if you give me the flowers, then you can be with Yaakov. And at that point, she had more children because of that. She had Yisachar and Zvulun. So this was right before the birth of Dina. Or not that long before the birth of Dina. So the Medrash says over there that There was a real issue here between the two of them. If you look in source number 13, the Medrash says, "Hamaat kachtech, amra Leah leRachel, lo dayach shalakacht as ishi shenimshach libo acharayach." It's not enough that you took my husband; that his heart goes for you. So Leah recognized that Yaakov loved Rachel more. So Rachel responds, "Amra Rachel leLeah, lo Leah ishechu el ishi." So she says to Leah, he's not your husband, he's my husband. Uba'avuri bam Beersheva, it's only because of me that he came to Beersheva. Va'ayideshem nasarti lach hasimonim nasa ishech. And only because I gave you the signs, the secret signs, did you become his wife. So Rachel's really, there's really a competition here. Leah says to Rachel, you stole my, he loves you more. And it's not enough that he loves you more. And then Rachel responds, you're not really his wife. You're only his wife because of me. Because the story was that Yaakov and Rachel had these secret signs because Yaakov sensed that Laban was going to try to trick them. So he gave these signs. They had these secret signs to make sure that it was really Rachel. And Rachel felt bad for Leah because she was supposed to marry Esav. So she gives Leah the signs. And that's how the whole experience happened where Yaakov marries Leah. But it was really because of Rachel. But what do we see from this Medrash? So the Medrash depicts that there seems to be a very strong competition slash unhappiness between the two of them. So on the one hand, you have Leah, who basically doesn't feel loved by her husband. And it's constantly mentioned in the Psukim where she names her kids after the fact that her husband, you know, by Shimon and by Levi, Hapam Yilavet Yishielai, she's constantly talking about how she wants her husband to be with her. And then you have Rachel, who doesn't have any children yet, and she's sticking it to Leah that Leah is not really Yaakov's wife. So we have this contention between the two of them. So that's the backdrop for Leah's tefillah. So what is the idea of the tefillah? What's the concept of the tefillah? So the tefillah says that Dona Din Ba'atma, that Leah judged amongst herself, and she recognized that it wouldn't be right that Rachel would be less than the Shvachos. So what does that show you about Leah? So Leah, at the time, it would have been great for her from a personal standpoint, from a competitive standpoint, had she had the seventh son. because if she had the seventh son, then she could stick it to Rachel even more. But the idea of Dona Leah Din Ba'atma is showing you that she was really able to contemplate this on an objective level and judge this from the standpoint of what's best for the system, for what's best for the Shvatim, what's best for the system of Klal Yisrael. And she was able to judge it in an objective way. So the Chiddush is, the Chiddush is that Leah's tefillah really emerged from a desire to ensure the survival of Klal Yisrael in the proper way. And she was able to overcome her pettiness, her petty drive to fight with her sister about these issues in this situation. So the type of tefillah that Leah was demonstrating was not a personal tefillah. It was a tefillah for the good of the nation, for the good of Klal Yisrael. So normally when people daven, they daven for themselves. There's always a personal factor involved in our tefillahs. But the greatness of Leah was such that she was able to overcome the pettiness, but she wasn't doing it necessarily for a personal reason because she liked her sister. She was doing it because she said it wouldn't be right in the framework of the Imahos and Klal Yisrael that Rachel should be depicted this way, that she should have one child and the Shvachel should be greater. It wouldn't be correct. It would be damaging to the future of Klal Yisrael, and it would be damaging to how they perceive Rachel. So despite her own emotions towards her sister, she was able to remove herself from the situation and be as objective as possible in the framework of Klal Yisrael. So I think that's the Chiddush here. The Chiddush is that Leah was davening not from a personal standpoint. That's why it's not a din of tefillah shav, because she wasn't davening for herself that she should have a daughter or that she should have a son like we do, but she was davening in the framework of what's best for Klal Yisrael. And she was able to remove the self from the tefillah, and we're not able to do that, and that's why any time we try to do that, it's really tefillah shav. Even if we try to daven for the sake of Klal Yisrael, I think we're not on the level, we're not capable of achieving what Leah was able to achieve. But the idea of Leah was that she was able to remove the self completely from his tefillah, and the raya is that the backdrop for this whole story was that they were really going at each other, Leah and Rachel. But she was able to remove herself from the situation and daven for the good of Klal Yisrael. And that's why there was a nes here, because the nes suggests that it wasn't just a personal request. It was a request on the behalf of the future of Klal Yisrael. So there was almost a hashgacha klalis that was working here in this framework. It wasn't hashgacha to reward Leah or Rachel. It was hashgacha in the framework of what's best for Klal Yisrael. So Leah was able to tap into that idea, that concept, and that was the Chiddush of Leah's tefillah. So that's why we can't learn from Leah for two reasons. One is that she was able to remove the self completely from this tefillah, and we can't do that. It's really not our ability. It's not within our ability. And the second is the idea of Maisa Nisim, which is that the nature of the response was one for Klal Yisrael, not really for the person. So it's a whole different case. It's not one that you can derive halacha lamasa from this situation. So I think that's the idea of Leah. It's a deep idea, and that's why her name is Dina, because Dina is reflective of the ability of Leah to do this, and that's why it's Dina's Dona Din Ba'atma, that she was able to judge the situation objectively. So that's why her name is Dina. Her name is Dina to reflect this perfection, this greatness of Leah. So I think that's the idea. I think also, just to answer the question, we'll see in the next piece that really, they were all nevuah. They all had nevuah. In fact, you'll see in source number 15 that Rachel was a navi. So that answers also how they know that there was going to be 12. It seems like it was a nevuah of some sort that everyone knew that there was going to be 12, or there was some mesorah that this is how it was going to turn out. So we know this also from I believe that's the case, but we'll see it in the Medrash itself by Rachel. So there's really another approach here, which is brought down. It's completely different than the approach of, not that different, but it's different from the approach of Leah. But I think it has a similar concept. So if you look in a source, we'll skip number 14. It's really a chavrusa on the brachos. But look in source number 15. So the Medrash there says a different idea. It says v'achar yalda bas ikar bria shel dina zachar haisa. So it's the same thing, that Dina was really meant to be a boy but turned into a girl. Mitzvilaso shel Rachel shamra Yosef Hashem li ben acher nasis nekeva. From the tefillah of Rachel, where she says after Yosef is born, she names him Yosef because Asaf Hashem Esker Pasi, and then right afterwards he says Yosef Li Ben Acher, that she wants another son. So because of that, Dina was turned into an akeva. So it's weird because that happened after the fact. But it says Amar of Chanina Ben Pazi, Rachel Imenu Nevia Haisa. So Rachel was a Nevia. Amra Od Ben Achad Hu Asid Lahamid, that Rachel was going to have. She knew that there was going to be one more son, Yehi Ratzon Shiyeh Mimeni, and she davened that it should be from me. So there was this nevuah that there was going to be 12, but the idea over here is that it's tying it not to Leah, but Rachel. That Rachel, when Yosef was born, she says right after, Yosef Hashem Li Bein Acher, right after she names Yosef. So that's a reflection, or that tefillah that she asked for another son, was the reason why Dina turned into a girl. So it's different than our idea of Leah. It's Rachel was the source. And it's based on the Yerushalmi. If you look in source number 16, the Yerushalmi argues with the Bavli. The Bavli says, Gemara Bavli says, that it was Leah that was the one who changed Dina. And the Yerushalmi says it was Rachel. So if you look in the Yerushalmi, it says, Hadahi v'achar yalda bas v'atikra shema Dina ma'achar shenispala Rachel nasis nekeva. After Rachel davened, she was made into a girl. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi b'shem the base Rabbi Yanai imenu Rachel menevios harishonos haisa. Imenu, our mother Rachel was one of the first nevios. Amra od acher yamimeni. She said, "There's going to be another one from me." And she said, "Hadahu dechsev Yosef Hashem li ben acher." She says, "I should have another child, another son." Banim acherim lo amra. She didn't say children in the multiple. Ela od Acharai Hayemimani. Od Acher Yehemimani. So she knew that there was only going to be one more son, so she said it should be from me. So what do we see from that? So what's the difference between this and the other approach? Why, what does it mean that Rachel was a Neviah, and why is it tied to Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher? What is that concept? So I think it's a very similar idea to Leah, but it's just looking at it from the perspective of Rachel. So Rachel just had her first son. She had Yosef. So the normal reaction of a woman who is barren for so many years and just has a son is to take pride in her son, to love, you know, to just be enthralled with having this child, this son. And that's the natural reaction, emotional reaction of a person in that situation. But her immediate reaction right after Yosef is Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher. And it's based on this nevuah. So what do we see from Rachel? We see Rachel had a similar perfection in the sense that she was able to overcome, it's the same similar idea, she was able to overcome the personal expression of gratitude and being excited about her first son, her only son, and immediately she turns to her role as an ima in the Shvatim, and she turns to the idea of wanting to be a mother of as many Shvatim as possible. So we see that she also was able to overcome the natural desire, natural emotions of just, you know, wanting to enjoy your first child, your child after you've been barren for so many years, and she immediately turns her attention to having more because her concern was mainly the Shvatim in general and being part of the Shvatim and having more Shvatim herself. So again, the tefillah, the nature of the tefillah of Rachel was similar to Leah. It's an idea of tefillah that's not personal, but it demonstrates concern for the klal, for klal Yisrael, more than the personal, and that's why it was a nace, and that's why it occurred. So the machlokas is whether Leah demonstrated this perfection because of this contention between her and her sister, or whether Rachel demonstrated this perfection because of the fact that she had this child after so many years of barrenness, and yet she was still able to immediately turn her attention to the next child, to the idea of building the Shvatim, building the Shiftei Ka. So that's the machlokas between the two. But either way, you can't learn tefillah shav from this because they're doing something totally different. They're able to daven from the framework of the klal and taking themselves and their personal feelings out of the situation and just looking at it objectively, what's best for Klal Yisrael. So I think that's the chiddush of both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. It's just a question of which one of the mothers, which ima is demonstrating the perfection. Okay, so that's the end of the shir. Let me just summarize quickly. So basically, the Shir is taking up the topic of the birth of Dina. The Torah doesn't really mention much about it, but the Mefarshim talk about it a lot. So the first idea was the idea that Dina is a twin. And I just wanted to explain that there was a machlokes later on by Rashi on the idea of the children comforting Yosef when he thought he lost Yosef. And the question was, who are his daughters? So one opinion says that each tribe had a twin sister and they married each other, amongst each other. And the other side said, no, the Shvatim married Kenanios, just women from Canaan. So the question is, what's a machloka? So if you remember before, Avram and Yitzchak are machbid, they're stringent that their sons don't marry from Canaan. They marry from their own family. So the question was that necessary by the Shvatim? Do we say that the Shvatim were still in a fragile state where the Klal Yisrael needed the same philosophical wavelength amongst the Shvatim and their spouses? Or do we say no, that after Yaakov, now there was already an established base foundation and it was no longer necessary that they marry within the family? Fine. But then the next idea was tied to this tefillah of Leah. And we asked, how was Leah able to do this? Daven that her child turned from a boy to a girl. Why did it occur? What's the nace there? And how was she allowed to do this? That was the question. The Gemara seems to object to it. So the answer we said was that we see from the backdrop of the situation that Leah and Rachel are really fighting amongst each other in a really vicious way. That's what the Medrash implies. And we see that it would be natural for Leah to be petty in this situation. And had she had a seventh child, she would have been able to really stick it to Rachel. But she's able to overcome this pettiness. And Dana Din Ba'atma is the key, that she was able to judge this objectively and take herself out of the situation. And from an objective standpoint, she recognized that it would be detrimental if Rachel only had one son and she had seven. So she was able to give up on her pettiness and daven for the good of the nation, the good of the Shvatim. And that's why there was a reward of a nes, because the nesim are framed in the situation of the Klal in general. They're given to the Klal Yisrael. And the other side is similar, but that Rachel, the fact that Rachel asked for a child right after Yosef's birth, also demonstrated a similar greatness, which is that Rachel immediately turned her attention to Klal Yisrael. She wasn't enthralled with her son Yosef. She wasn't just like a regular, normal parent who would just be happy, but she immediately knew that there was going to be one more son, and all she cared about was, you know, the Shvatim and being the mother of this, of another Shevet. So that shows greatness amongst her as well. So therefore, again, you can't learn out the general principles of Tefillah Shav from that situation as well, because it's a different situation. All right, so anybody have any questions at all on the Shir, or any want to add anything?